I just always record everything I do 24 hours a day because I say some funny shit and I got tired of not catching it. Right. You know,
got to make sure you catch it all.
Yeah, you got to be able to. It requires a lot of editing, but I quit doing the editing. I just give them a 24 hour CD and go listen to this shit. There'll be some good stuff in it.
Fast forward to 4 hours, 6 minutes.
Yeah, here you go. This is last week. Enjoy.
Yeah.
For some reason, that didn't add her. No answer.
She's stiffing you.
She fucking knows better. That's why.
I don't blame her.
Yeah,
I don't want to come on this show either.
I wouldn't. Are you kidding me? Cecil has to heckle me to come on.
Fuck. Yeah, it's she's not answering for whatever reason. When I told her that, hey, did I say 9? I meant 10. What were you thinking? She said, I'm going to be in the car. And I said, can you Skype from the car? And she goes, yes, I have Skype on my phone. And I said, okay.
Seems like it's nailed down at that point. So
yeah, I was good to go. So I'm not a tech guru, but I don't know if she has to have Wi-Fi or some kind of 4G FTB stuff.
I would be leery of her in a car on our I mean, we no offense, but like we try to make sure that the production quality is as high as can be. So I'd be a little leery of that. Is she planning?
That was the real reason y'all wanted me on then, right?
Yeah.
Production quality. Fuck yeah. We got to get this no name motherfucker from the mountains on this show.
No name? What are you talking about? No name.
This guy with a fucking kick-ass setup, evidently. You got a really good setup, man. You sound great. You guys sound all really good in your studio.
Well, I have been podcasting for years. It's what I do for my business. And so I make a living doing it.
No shit.
And so
you're Dave Ramsey, aren't you?
Oh, fuck. I thought Cash had everybody fooled.
Oh, man. I love your total money makeover. I'm gazelle intense, motherfucker.
Fucking gazelle intense, baby.
I have never watched Dave Ramsey other than when I walk in on my father. Because I was one of those you know,
that's
people
embarrassing
that,
when you walk in on your dad. Does he pull his pants up? Or?
It really is. Is he circumcised?
I was one of those. That, I lost my father to Fox, like that recent article in Salon.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
And how true that was. I don't know if you read that, but that is my life. I mean, my dad doesn't watch anything else.
Yeah, God, that's rough, man. I have in-laws that are like that, and it's just rough. Because you'll come in, and then they just want to start a fight with you because that's all Fox does all day is tune them up. So they're just like ready to go the moment you come in. They're like, you like Obama? And you're like, oh, God.
They treat their audience like a fucking nest of hornets.
Yeah.
They really do. It's like, hey, are you fucking hopping mad and ready to sting? No, you will be in 5 minutes.
What?
That is so true. That is so true. My dad sends me shit, you know, but he doesn't want me to respond. He's trying to win me over to the other team. So when the Obama phone, you know, nightmare went out,
which
happened to have started with, you know, the first George Bush, he sent me a picture of a bus that said Obama phone and free phones, you know, and that it was supposedly taken in Miami. And I did a little research and found out that wasn't even on the bus. That was photoshopped on the bus and sent him the information back. And he told me I expected no less from somebody that doesn't trust their instincts and has fallen away from the gospel.
Oh gosh.
Wow. Take that. I like that he had like a three-prong approach to insulting
you.
Because it's important as his father. Now I'm a father myself, and when I insult my son, I like to make sure that I attack his ego from as many angles as possible to really reduce him to as small of a human as possible.
Well, if you're going to go to counseling later, you want to make it fucking worth a while. You know,
no kidding. You want your dollars worth. That's
right.
Sure.
Right. Counselors are expensive. You don't want to go in there with something small, like I was raped as a small child.
No,
you want
no,
something right. with more impact. You know, that my dad destroyed my ego 9 different directions to Sunday.
Yeah. here, unpack this. Like, if like every sentence that you fucking remember as, you know, a loaded passive aggressive attack from, you know, six angles, like, oh man.
Yeah.
That's what keeps him in business.
Well, I got to tell you, my wife doesn't listen to a lot of podcasts. And this morning,
she's a wise woman.
I was in the shower and I always have my phone up on the top of the shelf so that I can hear the podcast. And she came in there we have a floor heater in the bathroom. It's a tile floor, but she likes to go in there and turn that on, even though it's 95 degrees in the bathroom already from the steam. She wants to warm that fucking tile up instead of putting on a pair of socks, you know, cause money.
Right. Sure. And, right.
Yeah. Right. I've defused it twice and she's figured it out. And
flip the breaker on
right because she'll go
cancel electric service. I'll go, just doesn't work.
Why the fuck is the heater running in the bathroom? You're not even in there. I'm going to be later. Well, so the comfortable 72 we keep the house isn't good enough, but anyway, I was listening to your podcast and she the most recent one, and so she's sitting in there and she's going to smoke. We smoke in the bathroom when it's cold outside. And so it's got a big exhaust fan and we sit in there with the door shut. Well, she's smoking while I'm showering and she is dying laughing. Her favorite is Matthew McConaughey, as she refers to him. And when y'all beat the fuck out of that boy, she even asked me, she missed a piece of it or something. And she goes, back that up. I want to hear what.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great.
So great. She ended up listening to the entire hour.
No shit.
And I was blown away.
She's the first one. So what? Give her a fucking medal, man.
I haven't made it through 20 minutes yet. I'm kidding.
My favorite, now I haven't listened to all 719 of your podcasts, but I've listened to quite a few. And one of my favorites was when, and it was fairly recent, but it was the one where the girl was raped and she was, her attorney went in for her and they gave him prison or something or took his law license. And, and y'all turned, I was driving and I had tears rolling down my face. I couldn't catch my breath because you were going, we can't have these girls thinking they can just get raped anytime they want. You got to set an example. And holy fuck. And then I called a buddy of mine and I'm going, hey, I got to tell you this shit real quick. Well, when you try to tell somebody that, it doesn't even come off funny, or at least it didn't for me. And he's going, what the fuck? Are you sick? And I'm going, no, that's the fucking joke. Rape ain't something you joke about. And I said, no. Let me play this click.
Yeah. Just losing friends. That's just how it works, man. So do we want to get started?
Oh, fuck. I thought we were almost done. What the fuck?
You sound like my wife. I thought we were going to talk about this.
You got to learn speed fucking because my wife has never asked if I was almost done. Have you ever watched a rabbit fuck?
I don't want to say I've watched, but you know, I've been around.
Well, I mean, we raise rabbits. I mean, you know, I used to live on a farm and I had rabbits and they fuck very quick. And they're aggressive.
That's because a hawk's about to eat them at any moment.
Well, true. But it's crazy to watch them. I don't even think you can catch it all. It's so fast. And
it's like a great white jumping out of the water. It's like,
yeah, let's get started.
All right. So Tom,
sure. We'll do the thing.
We'll do the story first and then we'll come back. And maybe by that time, Love will be around. We could do the interview part.
Okay. This is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. This is episode 142, and for this episode, we have half of the atheists on air. See, so we seem to be good at getting half of our guests.
And this is clearly the ugly half. I mean, no offense, Cash. No offense. But
you haven't seen me in my thong. It's made out of raccoon.
Oh,
You are from Appalachia.
Oh, man.
That's awesome.
Fuck yeah. And one of the only ones with teeth.
Yeah. I like that you don't specify all of your teeth, just
teeth.
If you've got
teeth.
One.
Yeah, teeth means two. I didn't say a few. I said teeth.
More than one teeth.
We are graced with the presence of Cash from Atheists on Air. Thank you so much for being on our show. We have 142 episodes. You guys do about 142 episodes a week. Your production schedule is ludicrous, Cash.
Well, we stopped that. We did.
Okay.
We were doing daily shows. We quit that shit.
Okay. When did you quit that shit?
After about 2 weeks of it. That was as soon as our egos were built up from everybody going, "Wow, y'all are awesome." I was like, "Yeah, we've appease the masses now. Let's lay low and do a 3 hour show Mondays." And so that's what we're doing now, is a 2 to 3 hour show each Monday.
Wow. 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I would be so fucking sick of Cecil after 2 to 3 hours. I'd be sick of myself after.
It is ridiculous, but we drink like fish.
Oh, you see, that's how you do it. Yeah, you do.
And so I don't know if there's any value in any of it. Except maybe the first 5 minutes or something, the introduction, but the rest of it we're enjoying.
Well, and that's all that really matters. I mean, shit, Cecil, the only reason we're not doing this for the fucking audience. If we were, we'd have a different show.
Yeah. So,
our goal originally was to, and it still is my goal, I want to make change. It's why we added this new science segment. It's an hour segment, but it's a segment. Well, I wanted originally to have Christian callers. So I bought a domain name called, areyouarealchristian.com, and I want to put up billboards. Well, as soon as our ReasonCon thing is over and I'm done dumping money into it, I am going to start putting up billboards that are run monthly with different Christian messages. One of those being, these will be the black billboards, like the God billboards, that says, kill Sabbath day workers is the first one. And and then at the bottom, are you a real Christian? My goal is awesome. Is to entice, to antagonize.
Yeah.
I love it. Choose your language carefully there.
Well, that's the goal. And that's what I wanted. So I want to debate. I want to talk to Christians. And I'm not a master debater, because my wife gives me plenty without having to do that. And so I've lost the skills from my younger years. But
it's like falling off a log, my friend.
So that's my goal with the show. I don't know if it'll make it. Another goal of ours is to keep it under an hour.
At 2 to 3 hours, you're a little over.
Yeah, we've narrowed it down. It's either going to mean less talking is pretty much what we've come up with. We're going to have to cut down on the
talking.
That's
like looking at the Lord of the Rings and saying like, less elves. That's the way to edit this one down. Less elves.
Well, I sent Love a copy of one of our 2-hour and 40-minute segments, and I had sped it up to where it would fit into 60 minutes. And I said, "We finally did it after editing." you couldn't understand that motherfucker. It was just like chipmunks on speed. Yeah. It was horrid. Horrid.
Cash, we wanted to talk to you about this story from the Raw story. Oklahoma Fox Station removes evolution from Cosmos by cutting only 15 seconds. Now, if you get an opportunity, this is for the audience, go to the site, click on the link, and watch the video. I never do this, but Cecil made me do it. The editing here is brilliant. I mean, really smooth. It doesn't feel like a sloppy chop job at all.
No.
Just really spectacularly well done. What did you think of this story, Cash?
Almost like somebody changed the fucking channel.
Yeah.
Mid-sentence. Exactly. And then flick back once they realize, oh, fuck, that wasn't the volume button.
Right.
I think there couldn't have been a better segue, though, for Oklahoma than bow hunting.
I know.
They cut to the thing, and they're like, later on, they'll be bow hunting. And I was like, okay. Like, they could have had a washboard and jug band, and that would have been about the same level.
I love that even makes the news. Yeah. So, like, and in the news, the news, fucking news, let's not remember.
The bow.
Right. Like, let's not forget there's still an airplane full of people missing in the world. Missing, just fucking gone. But we're going to cut to the fucking important shit. We're going to take you away from evolution to show you a fucking dude with a bow and arrow. Yes, that's right. He's good at shooting a bow and arrow.
I got to say that the editing is like when you were like a teenager and you're taping over all your Disney tapes with porn. You know what I mean? Where you're just like, ooh, there's like Cinemax on tonight. I'm going to tape over fucking Dumbo here. And it just cuts in the middle of Dumbo flying with a fucking feather in his trunk or whatever. And then there's a trunk going into something else as you cut away.
Right? It's just like a barely revealed tit. That's it. That's like, you're like, yes,
enough back then, man. Well, that's enough right now. Oh, my God.
What was amazing is they teased with that. That appeals to their audience. And we have to remember that's a Fox clip. You know, it's an affiliate of Fox. And they appeal to their masses there in Oklahoma, which, you know, we can't say much here because Fox is, you know, an icon here. It's a social icon for truth and fair and balanced. So it was amazing, though, that they even pointed out that he had got his own show. They alluded to the fact that he's actually making fucking money hunting with a bow. Anyone can do it.
Oh, man. Yeah,
buy a scratch off and get a bow.
Like, what's your sponsorship level for shooting shit with a fucking arrow? Like, I don't even know how that works. Like, there's no competitor. The competitor's the deer. You killed it. You fuckers killed your competitor. There is no, it's not like you're like, yeah, I'm going to hunt. Like, it's not like there's like one deer and like whoever gets it first wins the fucking bow internet. I don't know how that works exactly, but like, wait, and what are you going to do? Like, you're going to put like fucking like signs and shit on his camo so it doesn't work? Like, oh yeah, I'm going to sponsor. I want to buy some fucking real estate on the back of that
dude.
Like
the arrow name on his back.
Right. Or like he has to like write in like fucking deer blood the name of his sponsors. Like, ah, when I'm eating delicious bow hunted deer heart, I only eat fucking, I only clean up with Bounty paper towels. Yes, Bounty paper towels.
And deer jerky.
When the bloods are running.
Oh my God. That is just, it's perfect though for the area. I mean, it's like them, you know, promoting. Oh, well, not toothpaste here, but something, you know, meth, you know, and be like, it would go over well.
Oh, man. Did you get a chance to see Cosmos?
Absolutely. I watched it on Tuesday night because my son wanted, he's 12 and he wanted to watch it with me. And I had a show Monday night, so I couldn't watch it Monday night. Sunday night, I do a business show. And so it was going to, he and I sat down Tuesday night. We watched it Tuesday night. He fell in love. And Wednesday morning, I get up to get him ready for school. He's already up in the living room watching Cosmos again.
Wow.
Hell yeah. That's great.
I was just like, shit.
So 12-year-old is a good target market for that.
Well, he already has a propensity towards that stuff.
Okay.
He talked me into buying a huge telescope that is so fucking heavy. We need 6 people to pull it out. They tell you, oh, it comes apart and you can take it out anywhere you want in 3 pieces. Yeah, motherfucker, but it takes 3 hours to put those 3 pieces together and to realign everything. Oh. That's the biggest part, is realigning it. So I try to do it as the whole unit. And so I've got my girls out there holding one side and I'm on the other side and they're going, Dad, pick up your side, you know, and we go look at shit, but it is fantastic. He already has just a drive that way.
You guys must be able to see a lot down there. 'Cause you guys don't have electric lights in North Carolina, do you?
Not yet. They said, as soon as we get running water, fucking electricity's next, baby.
Yeah, we should mention that he is podcasting from a tin can with a string. And I think The fidelity is surprisingly good.
It is. We have really improved over the years. We have. We figured out that the cheap ass Dollar General cans of beans, those don't work as good, but Spam, the dynamic of a Spam can or potted meat just carries the bass and the resonance just as fantastic.
So I am curious, like what I watched, and we were talking about this. Cecil and I were talking about this before the show. What do you think the target audience for Cosmos was? Like age group wise, where do you think age group or educational level? What do you think they were aiming at with Cosmos? Who are they going after with that program?
I don't know if I'm being set up because I was, I've read y'all's bios and y'all have educations. Yep. And I almost graduated. Not from college, but it is incredible to me that they have put it in a way that even, I mean, I'm in my 40s and that was just like I want to eat it. You know, it's given to me in a way I can understand it, but also my 12-year-old understands it. And my daughter sat in the room and watched the whole thing with us Tuesday night as well. So I think
how old is your daughter?
I've got six daughters, but
what?
Yeah, I only.
You are from the South, sir.
Oh well, what's Mormon, done? Mormon, and the South, and you're pretty fucked. So, we had my daughter that's 16 and a daughter that was 15. My other daughters are all in college. In fact, I've got one that's married that lives near y'all.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah,
she's. Oh, we're very sorry for her.
She's the oldest. She's 25 and she's adopted and she lives, her husband's a PhD, LMAQ something. He's smart as fuck Chinese dude, teaches at, some university up there in, you know, where it's real cold and shit on that big lake.
Yeah, where it's always fucking
okay.
Cold.
Where it's cold around the big lake. Yeah. And one of them, they're learning centers.
That's right.
Yeah, I thought, you know, Tom and I both thought when we watched it, both of us thought it was a very good start. There's a lot more in-depth astronomy shows out there that will do much more depth, but Cosmos is sort of aiming at a different thing. It's sort of showing you the story of, as they said, of everything. And we thought it was a very good beginning. And we're kind of looking forward to the rest of it. I hope that they cut in over here and try to erase other parts of it. But although I don't think they're going to do it in Chicago, but I'm anxious to see where else they try to erase other shit from it. Because there's going to be like a whole episode on evolution. They're going to just have to keep fucking cutting back and forth to this Fox affiliate.
Just well, the Oklahoma Fox affiliate, all they have to do is just do a bow hunting for an hour when they do the evolution series.
Yeah. We would normally show Fox. However,
were you guys amazed that this was even on Fox, though?
You know what? Though Rupert Murdoch is a whore. He goes after money. You know, if you remember when he was sued a few years ago for demonstrably sending out, disseminating information that was false. And they proved it in a court of law, in a federal court of law. And his defense was, we're an entertainment company, Fox News.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that.
And he won.
That's so unreal.
So
isn't that unreal?
I mean, hell, he's got The Simpsons and
Family Guy.
South Park, Family Guy, American Dad. All that shit's them. They know what sells.
Yeah, and it is funny, too, that they did cut away from their own programming. You know what I mean? Like, it's your own programming that you're cutting away from. You know, I can't be sure that this is 100% like they actually did it, but it certainly seems timely that they did it exactly when they talked about the evolution part.
Well, and these shows are written for commercials. Like, it's not like the show is just going on and then the affiliate just decides like, I'm just going to stick a commercial break in.
Yeah, it could have been a mistake, though. It could have been a mistake. You know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah, it could have been. But
well, usually mistakes, though, because Fox, I mean, all stations make a mistake and they could have made a mistake, but they would have recognized that mistake instantly because all of these come in, the footage comes in with the breaks already built in.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think Cosmos is fantastic and did you notice that the South Park dude, what's his name? Mormons.
Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
Yeah, I guess it's him. Isn't he the guy behind it? Isn't it Seth MacFarlane? Seth MacFarlane's behind it. And what does he do?
He does Family Guy.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Okay. I get them confused, but I like the fact that they're
funny guys who make like animation. So
yeah, I like that he's using his fame and the money, you know, the notoriety, his pull to be able to do something like this. You know, we need to have more programming like this. Like this it's the only disappointing part about Cosmos really is that it's a big deal. You know, Cosmos shouldn't be a big deal. Like there should be shows like this all the time.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be a show like this every 25 years.
Yeah.
Like, we shouldn't be like jumping up and down like, yay, a new generation. Like there should always be shows that are like well produced and educational and shown at prime time. And
you pander to your audience, and the bulk of the audience is, you know, Christards. And so you end up with shows like National Geographic Channel and Discovery Channel playing Jesus, the real Jesus. We found evidence. You know, they play shows that you know, I guess cater to that mentality that, we did find Noah's Ark.
That fucking Noah's Ark is fucking always found and then never found. It fucking drives me crazy. It's like, you didn't find it. Are you fucking kidding me? You're just going to show me another hour of you not finding it.
Yeah. Here's some people tromping around in the desert, digging in the dirt. Well, no boats here. Yeah. Okay. Hey, Joe, you find a boat? Because the cameras are sort of watching us not find boats.
And why are we looking anywhere except for Mount Ararat? You know, the Bible specific.
Why are we looking anywhere at all?
Well, yeah, but if you're going to look, and the Bible is what told you that there even should be one, why not start on Ararat? But instead, we got people looking in Jerusalem for this fucking thing.
That's
like
the new Ararat.
Like somebody donkeyed that fucker over to Jerusalem. You know, it's buried.
Well, I'll tell you what, they didn't camel it over because that wasn't in the fucking, that was the wrong times. So
yeah,
they probably, here's the thing that we're not considering is that, you know, they probably brontosaurus it over there because, I mean, they had all the dinosaurs and
shit.
And that's actually.
It was after they were dead.
No, they died from moving mountains. They made it. It's tough. It's a rough fucking go, man.
They Flintstoned them so they could move the mountain, right? They put the head in there. But
that shit's exhausting. Yeah. So they just fucking died when that was over.
I had always thought that the dinosaurs was because just Noah did a shitty job sexing them. And so because we know that some species like the bonobo monkey has the females have a non-working penis that is larger than the male's.
Really?
Yeah. It's her clit, but it's shaped just like the male penis and she can even use it to fuck, but she can't like inseminate anyone with it. But there's several species like that.
You know, it's kind of amazing when you stop and think about how much, like the incredible amount of just sheer biological know-how Noah had to have had, you know, in order to do such basic things. You know, it's like
you ever sexted a chicken?
I've never sexted anything.
It's fucking hard. It's fucking hard. I mean,
well, it is. You need a lot of lube. You need a lot of lube. Let me tell you, that's why they sell Crisco in 5 gallon buckets.
We still use lard here.
let's get to the end of the show. We're gonna do our interview now. You wanna give her a try again?
Yeah, let me try her again.
She's in the car, we're fucking hanging up on her. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I don't think that it's even gonna get her.
Well, when we're doing the interview, why don't you just raise your voice a little and pretend to be her? How's that?
And talk all sweet.
Yeah.
I could bring down my wife. Y'all would have a blast with her fucking accent. have you not heard her sing? She was a Christian singer, sang with the Kingdom Air, sang with Dolly Parton. She wrote Christian music and songs.
Wow.
Here, if you have 2 seconds, I'm gonna play you just a clip.
Yes, play it.
This is her. She wrote the music and the lyrics.
Okay, don't be mad if I laugh.
I don't give a shit.
Okay.
She laughs now.
Well, church, are you ready? Where
to have a conversation with her would probably be very difficult.
She, wow. Holy shit, she's got a twang. When I listen to her, I go, fuck, you sound like a redneck hillbilly. God damn. You know, I'm pretty normal sounding.
Hold on, we got to get into this. This is all so good. We're losing all this good stuff. So, all right. So we're here again with half of Atheists on Air, the uglier, sadder half. Cash is here. But Love is not with us. It's a shame because we both really wanted to talk to Love. That's kind of who we were looking to talk to was Love.
It's always no Love with you and I.
I guess it's Cash. I guess we're just going to talk to Cash. No, I'm just fucking with you, Cash. Cash, thanks for joining us. Can you tell our audience, if they've never heard your podcast, could you tell them about your podcast and about sort of what you guys do?
Is that a joke? Everybody's fucking heard of our podcast. I mean, we've been out for, let's see,
it is
one,
a joke.
2 months now. And no, you can find us at AOA.fm, atheistonair.com, Facebook, you know, Atheists on Air, Spreaker.com, Atheists. You can find us pretty much anywhere like that. We haven't had any luck with anybody actually finding us, but we are easy to be found.
Right. We found them at the 7-Eleven, so yeah. It's fine. Like, you can really find them anywhere, literally any place. It's not hard at all. What's the thrust of the show? Like, what's the format? Tell us about the format of it. Because you guys have a different format. You guys have like a call-in sort of thing that you're hoping to do. Tell us about it.
Our goal is to get callers, Christian callers specifically, and do debate and lively discussion. We right now kind of do a... There's, you know, you always copy somebody, but do news stories. You do like those cognitive dissonance guys. We do, you know, we're
don't
not
trying to copy anything they do.
We're not
That's
nearly
a low
as fucking
bar
funny.
To crawl under, yeah. Sir.
But we attempt to do you know, a funny spin on the news. We do a science section. You know, where we debunk or we talk, it's all about the alternative medicines.
I'm gonna interrupt here real quick. Science section, you're asking for a ton of people to be super, super butthurt over tiny little things. I'm just saying, if you go science route, expect the pedantic nerds to be sending God. You emails like you will not believe. Now, maybe you haven't done it a lot yet. But you will get the pedantic fucking emails that will drive you up the wall.
We've gotten a few of them where we've been corrected, you know, where they go, no, that's not how you pronounce that. And I'm going, motherfucker, you better be glad that I even spelled it correctly, much less pronounce it. I'm surprised that some of them even can understand my accent. People say I have an accent. I've talked to myself in the mirror. I cannot tell at all.
Can't figure it out.
No, I think it's bullshit. I think people are just fucking with me. And so that's the goal, is to do the science section. That's with an actual scientist. He comes to the studio once a week.
Oh shit.
And we record an hour and we put that into our 3-hour program. Because everybody wants as much as us as they can get. And 3 hours just is our limit.
3 hours is your sweet spot.
So it's either Atheists on Air or Lord of the Rings. Your choice. Whichever one.
Right.
But it's not the unedited version. Or the,
right. No, that's fucking
crazy.
It's like
crazy. The fucking theatrical release.
Of the scientist who comes on, what's their field? What do they study?
He actually gets to do some unique stuff. He works here locally. In the mountains with a company that does
Science in the South?
Yeah, can you
That's
believe
impossible.
That shit? Well, they have no signs on their building because they're afraid of getting firebombed. I think we actually have Love on the line.
Do we?
Yeah. I've been sitting here going, hey, where is everybody?
You're having a blast. We weren't having as much fun until you showed up though, Love.
Woohoo! You know I bring the fun.
But now we don't have half of Atheists on Air. We have the entire
Atheist.
All both of us.
All both of us.
Yeah. So
yeah, I was just gonna say I was just at the Charlotte Douglas International Airport because, you know, I'm a big partier like that.
Were you spending your time at the bar at the airport?
No, I was actually just standing and sitting in line in the car. I didn't even get to the bar, but. So what have I missed?
Oh, God, we've done nothing. We've just
made fun of Cash's accent pretty much. I mean, that's pretty much the whole fucking show. So.
Pretty much wasted our lives, you know, like pretty standard stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Cash, you were telling us about the scientists that you have on. What's their field of expertise? What do they study? What do they do?
I am not 100% sure. It has something to do with medicines. Good. And he gets to do, he even said the other day he had an explosion in the lab where he was trying to experiment with something. So he gets to do some pretty liberal stuff with stuff. With chemicals.
Are you sure it's not just a kid with a chemistry set?
No.
That sounds like a kid with a chemistry set.
That's not
a science lab. That's dad's garage. I'm just throwing that out there.
He actually had a small explosion, and they do testing for drug company stuff. I don't know. And he does well with it and loves it, but he loves the going after pseudoscience. And so he comes on the show. We've done 3 episodes with Professor Steven so far, and they are this guy is brilliant. I wish you could see him in person. He usually wears some kind of crazy looking hat. He's got sideburns that are enormous and come all the way down to his bottom of his jaw. And he just looks the part. He's got a huge heart. He's super nice, but he's super smart. And he can talk in a way that even I can understand him.
If I were a scientist, I got to tell you, for fucking real, I would dress like fucking Dr. Frankenstein everywhere I went. I'd have a fucking lab coat spattered with blood on it. I don't care if I'm going to the grocery store. Everywhere I go, I would sleep in that fucking thing.
All right. So now that we actually have Love on, Love, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? We learned a little bit about your podcast already, but we haven't had a chance to sort of figure out who the hosts are. Tell us a little bit about yourself and about your past here.
Well, I had 2 very different childhoods. My parents divorced when I was quite young. My biological mother was Pentecostal and as far extreme in Pentecostal as you can get. And then my father was agnostic, and I spent about 7 years of my childhood living with my biological mother. Oh, and wow. it was an interesting childhood, you know, very fear-based, obviously. But, I mean, she used to drag me in front of the church all the time to rebuke demons out of me.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
I think it just made me worse, but it was very bizarre, and I didn't realize how bizarre it was until I got out of it. I'm still very close with my dad, who's agnostic. I think having those 2 very separate childhoods though gives me kind of a unique perspective, and I feel like I can pretty much relate to anybody, whether they're religious or not. I've got 2 kids. I'm married, former military. I'm a disabled veteran, was in the Army JAG Corps. And I guess I've been an atheist for, trying to do the math, I don't have enough fingers. I'm like, damn it, I can't do math. And now I'm using my phone for this call, so I can't use the calculator. I guess I've been an atheist for, shit, like 15 years, something like that.
She took off a shoe.
I took off my shoe and started fucking counting of my toes.
So what made you guys decide to start a podcast?
Actually, you know, Cash,
all the money, all the money,
all the fucking money and bitches.
Bitches and money.
That's a pretty standard reason.
I'm pretty fed up with the bitches part. I was already eat up with bitches.
Yeah.
And so I, 7 of them through my goddamn house. I never want to see another fucking bitch. And,
no, I did it for the bitches. Yeah. That's
what I suspected, Love.
You know, I had been approached for the last 3 years about doing an atheist mom podcast, and I was just, you know, I hadn't done one. I wasn't sure I was interested. I didn't think I had time. And then when Cash came to me about this show, I was like, oh, fuck yeah, I could do this. This would be fun. And first time in the studio, I had so much fun. And now I'm quitting all my other jobs just so I can do this all the time.
So, did you guys know each other before you started podcasting?
Yeah, for a total of 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, long time. We go way back.
Way back, different schools together and everything.
You guys sound so natural together, like you guys have this really good connection. You sound like you've known each other for years.
We hit it off. She's the president of WNC Humanists here, and I think there's about 7 or 8 other titles she carries around in her purse. And she is like spread thin in the atheist movement. was at a meeting and I had already met her and stuff. And I said, hey, you know, I'm going to try to start a podcast. And what do you think about joining me? And she said, fuck yeah. and so we started that motherfucker. And we just surpassed David Smalley. We've, you know, with four listeners and so he can suck on that one.
Wow.
And we're doing,
it's so fun. It's a great show. I love that it's explicit, so I can say whatever the fuck I want, whenever I want.
This show is actually clean. So if you could watch your language.
Yeah, I must have been getting the unedited version off of iTunes. Exactly. You were loading up the wrong episode each week.
Yeah.
Yes. You're getting the outtakes.
Yeah.
It's
an outtake. So yeah. I'm amazed that you guys only knew each other for a few months. It took Cecil 16 years of vetting me before he finally said fine. Fucking fine.
I tell you what, if any two people flow, you two do. And if there's any podcast that we've talked about at any length, it's been Cognitive Dissonance. And yes. And Scathing Atheist is also one of my favorites. But
yeah,
I wouldn't have known about them had I known. We have a member that's in our group here at Asheville Atheists and Asheville Skeptics. Two different groups, but he's in both. And he's a little whore. And his name is Kevin. And Kevin said, hey, Cash, have you heard Cognitive Dissonance? This was back in, I think, June. And I said, who the fuck? And he goes, yeah, it's these guys in Chicago. And I said, I fucking listen to a bunch of Yankees on a fucking, I said, they can't have nothing on.
You should see my hat. And I love macaroni.
You are a doodle dandy.
I am. Yeah.
And so I started listening, and then I started going back to your older episodes, and I am impressed. I'm impressed because y'all don't really edit. You do a lot of work, but as far as you do about an hour show and sometimes a little over, but you end up with a fantastic program. I don't know where Scathing Atheist comes up with his 55 hours a week to edit, but
yeah.
Now we do edit, to be fair. Yeah. We record. So if our show turns out to be an hour, 20, hour, 30, we have to record a good 16 or 17 hours of filler.
Yeah, 21 hours.
Yeah. And then Cecil just cuts all of that down. Most of it is just me farting anyway. Yeah. Snoring. Like fucking fighting my
it's
dog.
Like the background hum of the universe from Tom there. Just
right.
Slow rumble. we learned about love here. Let's hear about you, because you have a really interesting past there, Cash. Mormon and in the South.
Mormon in the South, and with
were you an outcast as a Mormon in the South?
Well, I have been for 5 years. At 38, I figured this out, and I left religion altogether. I was preaching in a non-denominational church for 3 years prior to leaving.
Oh, shit.
My goal was I was on the way home from church, and I got a vision that I needed to be an evangelist. And I decided I'm going to start studying the Bible. So the next 3 years from 30.
Before you get into that, I got to ask you, what does that mean? I had a vision.
Yeah, I was going to ask the same thing.
Well, I don't know anymore. Back then, I could have told you. I felt like God had called me. I saw in my in my head, me preaching in front of big crowds and traveling, and so I was. And I'm sure the idea got put into my head by T.D. Jakes or somebody that I listened to, and so I decided. Okay, the Lord's called me to do this. I told my wife, she goes, oh, fuck, and so we decided we were going to do this. I took the Bible and I said, there's so much of the Bible I'm unsure about. What I have a mixed version, because I grew up with the Book of Mormon, the Bible, the Pearl of Great Price, sure, the Doctrine and Covenants, and it all runs together. And I didn't want to be preaching and go, well, Brigham Young said, and really fuck up the sermon. So I didn't think it would go over well. Well, it probably would have worked, because Christians don't read their Bibles, so they wouldn't have noticed. So
exactly.
That's, yeah, right. That's for you to read. Rihanna.
Right.
Like, well, before let me ask you this. I have another question related to you becoming like when you became a preacher. So, how many years of education was involved to become a preacher? Like, I'm sure there was a pretty
significant. No, pretty much. Pretty much, you don't have to go to any school to call yourself a preacher, or you can get.
Certainly, there had to be a test or a license.
No.
No, any asshole can be a preacher.
No, I'm an ordained minister now in the First Church of Atheism, and that took $7. And so, and as long as I could type out my name on the keyboard, I was good to go. Well, no, there was no test, but I already had a good handle on the scriptures because in the Mormon church, you go to seminary for 4 years, irregardless whether you're going to be a preacher. So I had already been to seminary for 4 years. I already had a good handle, but I had a mixed up, you know, like a, what do they call that shit? Like a potpourri of religious nonsense. And it didn't smell as good as potpourri, but you get my point. And so I ended up studying, and I was preaching part-time, you know, for free and enjoying it. I was enjoying the attention. I thought I was making a difference. And the more I read, the more fucked up shit started sounding. And I was keeping stacks of yellow pads as I took notes because I was, you know, I'd go, oh, this would make a good sermon about Lot and his, oh fuck, what the fuck did Lot just do? And that kind of shit, you know? And no, so
wait, I'm sorry, I gotta interrupt one more time because wait a minute. 4 years in seminary and there's one book.
No.
And then later you read it.
No, there's more than one book in seminary. You get the Bible, the Book of Mormon, okay. The Pearl of Great Price, right. The Doctrine and Covenants.
What is it called?
The Pearl of Great Price. I've heard of this. I fucking love the title of it so much.
Yes.
It's so obviously made up.
It's you know, it's...
It's like the dog with shaggy hair. It's just some fucking crazy shit. Pearl of Great Price.
So you left the church somehow. How did that happen?
Well, I left the Mormon church at about 25. As far as I didn't leave them, I continued to pay tithe all the way until I was 35, 36. But I stopped going because I felt like they were mean to people. And I didn't like their rules. I didn't like how I didn't believe they came from God. I had my own version of God and they didn't fit into it. But I did know for a fact they were the true church because I had had a testimony that was ingrained into me since I was about 5.
What does that mean? What do you mean if you had a testimony?
A testimony means that you have a truth, a spoken or unspoken truth of knowledge of the validity of something. So the Mormons once a month, they have fast and testimony meeting. It's where you fast and you not only pay your tithes for the week, you also pay an additional tithe for the fast. Whatever money you would have normally spent on 3 meals, you give to the church. And that's just it bumps you up in heaven. So they
can't eat all day,
but they no, you don't eat for 24 hours.
The whole day.
And a Mormon fast includes no drinking water or anything.
Wait, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I would have a testimony. The fucking truth I would come to is I'm hungry.
Right.
That is the truth I would come to.
That was pretty much it.
In the Pentecostal church, we did 3 days. No food, no water. 3 days.
Fuck.
What? That's crazy. Who does that?
I don't know.
I could go 3 hours.
I would have rather handled snakes. But, I mean, at 16, at 16, you're fucking hungry all the time. And I can remember just couldn't wait for sacrament, you know, where they pass the bread and the water. And you're like, fuck yeah. And I'd get me a handful of bread if nobody was looking because I was starving to death. And... Or thought I was. And so anyway, during fast and testimony meeting, anybody in the church who wants to participate, you get up and stand in a line behind the podium and you wait and everybody bears their testimony. All of them sound the same.
Yeah.
And I kid you not, they go something like this, because this is taught, it's repetitively taught as you grow up. It goes, I just want to bear my testimony today that I know the church is true, that I know Joseph Smith was a true prophet of God, that Spencer W. Kimball or whatever current prophet is the prophet at the time is the true prophet and speaks to the Lord daily. I'm thankful for my family and all the blessings that the Lord gives to us. Amen. And that's pretty much it. Some people get up and tell a story about finding their keys and they wouldn't have found them without Jesus and shit. And the... And everybody gets teary eyed, you know, and, you know, all proclimped. And so we, that is what the Mormon church does. Well, at about 25, I left the Mormon church, but I still required my older daughters, my first kids, to go to church and to seminary. So they went to seminary and they were baptized in the Mormon church.
Wow. You owe them.
Oh, I sent them letters of apology.
Did you really?
I did. And I got them on a conference call one time. They were all in college. And I said, hey, I'm an atheist. And I have two daughters that we adopted at different times who didn't know each other until we adopted them. As far as they were adopted years apart and they were biological sisters. And, really? And they go, thank God. And one, the oldest one, the one that lives up near y'all, she says, she goes, I've been an atheist since I was 13. And I went, holy shit. And so bottom line is it went over well. And then I just started going to non-denominational churches. They're just Free Will Baptist churches in the mountains. My wife's uncle, she has six uncles that are preachers. Yes.
Wow. Do they like fight like Thunderdome to see who's the best preacher?
Well, no, they all have their own churches and they all disagree.
Wow. That is fantastic.
So
like fucking gladiator.
Well, her mom is the oldest of 14 kids. And so all the males in the family became preachers. And so we went to all their churches and we'd move around depending on who pissed me off. At the time, you know, because some of them said women couldn't wear makeup and some of them said women had to wear long dresses. I remember one time my wife wore blue jeans or slacks to church and her uncle Ellis, who is the preacher, he's still the preacher at Solid Rock and Baptist Church. And it's a pretty big church. And he said, like my niece right there in those slacks, that's of the devil. And she got up and walked out and then cussed him out after church. Because she has a temper, she has a fuse about, you know, as long as your fingernail and, you know, she'll climb you like a cat and she's a little bitty thing, but she's feisty.
She's very feisty.
Redhead, Irish, you know, just feisty. And so I decided, you know, we found a church eventually that was our home church and that's where I started preaching and I started doing an adult Sunday school. And I know I'm probably boring y'all to tears.
The sound of this adult Sunday school, like kind of what was going on there?
It was not fun.
I mean, is there a lot of like submission and bondage and things like that?
I've seen this movie. Tell me more. I don't know how it starts, but I sure know how it ends.
See, I'd have gone to adult Sunday school if it was like that.
It was.
And I'd go now. I mean, if I could find one, I'd get off the damn podcast and head over.
Oh my gosh, you should look it up. It's if you look up the name Dan Netherland, he holds like I don't know 11 or 12 world records in martial arts. He's broken like 16 feet of concrete with one punch. He's fantastic. And he encouraged me to start preaching and he's a good friend of ours and I love him to death still to this day. I ended up, you know, at the time I was making a lot of money and I had a lot of money and I built two churches and donated them to different, you know, to the preachers. I just thought I was, you know, a shoe-in for heaven. And even though I knew I was Mormon, I was a shoe-in. Well, at 35, I started this evangelical, you know, thing I was going to study for, and that fucked me. It was the end of it for me. I couldn't take it. I knew that it was false. Then I started studying religious history, and that did it. You can't go any further.
Yeah. So you just dropped out of it? Like, what was the fall like? I mean, like, clearly
you're going to love this.
When I
fell out of religion, for me, it was a real big deal for me. It was like there was a lot of existential anxiety and things like that. I mean, did you go through any of that stuff?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I went through a spiritual phase during that 3 years where I knew there was no God, but spirit and Dan, you know, the Sylvia Brown and Deepak Chopra, Wayne Dyer shit. And then I slowly ate myself out of that bullshit. And at the end of the 3 years, I was fucking ecstatic. I thought I had hit the mother lode, the pot at the end of the rainbow. And I am the oldest of my siblings. And everybody kind of looks up to me in the family only because I was successful, you know, financially successful. So even my dad, I could call him and go, hey, you need to do this. He'd do it. So I called everybody up and was like, you're not going to fucking believe this shit. I called my mom and dad and said, you got to come to the house tonight. I've got the biggest news you've ever heard in your life. And my dad goes, I'll be there. So him and mom come over. And we ate a little snacks and shit, and we sat down in the living room, and dad goes, well, what is it? I'm excited. And I said, God's not real.
Oh, Jesus.
And I saw his face turning red and this anger building up inside of him. I could see it in his eyes. And I said, no, hold on. I said,
no, wait, it gets better. There's more.
You're going to love this. I'm telling you, you're going to love this.
It's the best. You're an asshole.
It's the best feeling. Well, I told him, I said, this is the best feeling you've ever had in your life, Dad. Wait till you feel this. It'll be a weight off your shoulders. And he puts his hand, he's sitting in my recliner, and he puts his hand, slaps his hands down, and he stands himself up, and he goes, and he's a big man, not fat. He's muscular. And he goes, I'll not have this. And he points in my face and he goes, you're going to drag your kids to hell and I'll not let you do it. I'll kill you before you'll drag your kids to hell. You know, that kind of shit. And he left the house and we pretty much don't talk anymore.
Holy shit.
Wow. That didn't go well.
It wasn't
the outcome he was hoping for.
It wasn't even close. And then I figured, you know what? I'll call my siblings. They'll love this shit. You know, they'll love the fact that the Mormon is bullshit and they're going to get a 10% raise instantly because Mormons are faithful tithers. I mean, I tithed for over 15 years and I wasn't even attending. And so,
damn, that's fucking nuts.
Yeah, it is crazy. So I went to my older sister. She's not my older sister, but the next one under me. And I told her and she goes, you've lost your mind. You're going to hell.
I have a feeling it's going to go like this with all your.
Well, it pretty much did. I got to my youngest brother and he was like, well, this is interesting, but, do you have proof? And I said, no, that's the point. Do you have any proof?
Right.
And we went through this whole thing and he heard me out of respect, I believe, you know, 'cause I'm the older brother and, so he calls me every now and then, like today he called and said, hey, they're taking dad. I think he's got a heart attack. But there's no love there anymore. It's pretty much, they had a family reunion last year. Well, this past summer and didn't call me. I didn't even know about it till I saw a picture on Facebook. I was like, you motherfuckers.
That's horrible. That's fucking horrible.
I have my family now. I have love and I have, you know, even though I don't know y'all, I have this family that I feel good about and I'm happy.
But no, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not that I'm saying like, well, you must be unfulfilled because you lost people you used to have, you know, you can't but it sucks that everybody in your family, like your biological family, pretty much fucking turn their back on you. Like, I think a different thing.
Well, they're not allowed to. It's doctrine. Right. It's doctrine, though. They cannot cohort with me. And because there is a chance that Satan has gotten a hold of me and that could rub off. I mean, my dad was a dad that believes that Satan comes in through bad movies. I mean, he's Pat Robertson.
Yeah, Robertson talked about this week.
My dad just doesn't have a fucking platform.
Wow.
He's Pat Robertson.
Well, let's talk a little bit about humanism, because one of the reasons why I found your guys' podcast, I was listening to Secular FM. I had it on in the background, and your podcast comes on and you guys are, you know, yucking it up and I'm just listening along. I don't know that I was paying a ton of attention until you guys started talking about, and I love it. It was you who was talking about, was it you that had created some sort of charity for students who didn't have enough to eat? Was that you who had done that or someone close to you?
It was her.
We had a couple of different things we had done. When North Carolina discontinued the WIC vouchers, so women couldn't get formula, as soon as that happened, we instantly set up a thing so women could get formula. We would buy formula and deliver it to them. But then there's also, they have a school pantry here in our schools. About half the students in Asheville and in our city schools live, you know, below the bread line. And so these schools actually have a school pantry and they ask for donations. And so I went back to my group, you know, after one of the teachers contacted me about it, I said, we need to do this. So we have brunch twice a month. And every time we do brunch, I ask people to bring in canned goods. And we're one of the largest contributors to the school pantry.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's important. Kids should eat. I mean, this is like, that's kind of basic to me. Kids should be able to eat food.
There's kids that leave, you know, they leave school Friday and they don't eat again till Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, is it difficult for you to organize like a food drive or like a charitable organization when you don't love Jesus more? Like when you don't.
Well, it helps if you have Jesus.
Filled to the fucking brim with Jesus? Is that like, does it make it more difficult? Like, since you came out of the religious.
We've invited him. He's never showed up with shit.
That motherfucker doesn't bring shit to the party. Right? No, I guess I did want to ask in seriousness, like, is it difficult for you guys to gather money as an atheist organization? Like, or do you have to sort of hide that and just.
Yeah, from the community can be difficult because we have like a Relay for Life team. Both the humanist group here in our area and the atheist group both do Relay for Life every year. And, you know, most booths at Relay for Life sell hot dogs or hamburgers. Well, I used to cater part-time. And so, you know, one year I did like pulled pork tacos, you know, with like a, you know, a slaw top and, you know, like a pineapple sauce. And so I would do these kind of really awesome foods. And you would have people who would walk up because they could smell it. They're seeing somebody else eat it, and they'll come over, and they'll be like, oh, this is where I'm going to get this food. And then they would see our signs, and they'd say, oh, but I'm not giving my money to the devil. The bottom line.
Adam, though, the pork almost tempted them to the dark side. Very
good. Well, that's why the Muslims don't eat the pork, you know, because it's so tempting.
It just pulls
them right over the edge.
Which kills me because every cent you raise at Relay for Life goes to, you know, the American Cancer Society. It's not like it was going in our pockets. It all goes to them. But yeah, they wouldn't support us. I've had local companies that have given out things to for like a, you know, a raffle basket or discounted meals or a portion of the proceeds would go to your team kind of thing. And I've gone to these organizations that have said they would help us and they'll be like, okay, well, you know, come back Tuesday and we'll have things for you, and gone back and said, oh, well, I looked at your website and we just can't support an organization like yours.
That reminds me of, Tom, do you remember the Upstate Atheists? They were in South Carolina, right. I think.
Yeah. Those are friends of ours.
They had this thing where they were going to give away these packets. They were actually going to go help at a homeless shelter or something like that, a soup kitchen.
They got turned away.
Yeah, and they got turned away. And then they said, well, fine, we're just going to make little care packages for the homeless. And we had announced it on our show, and a bunch of our listeners are fucking awesome, and they will and donate. And they wound up pushing them well over their limit, what they had planned to do. And we had sent our listeners there, and they're fucking amazing. And they went and just like upped it in a great way, and they were able to give away all these care packages to the homeless. But it's funny to see them just get turned away, and you're like, well, look, I'm trying to do good works. Isn't that what Jesus wanted for me to do good works? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Well, Eve is the president of the Upstate Atheists, and I spoke with her, and I'm sure Love did as well, and they did. They your listeners obviously submitted a bunch of donations, and they were able to, these little care packages weren't little care packages.
Yeah.
They included blankets and all kinds of stuff. And so this was a huge deal, and it helped a lot of people. And they stood on the opposite side of the street from the soup kitchen and gave that stuff out, and the media was there. Yeah. Y'all did an awesome job promoting.
We did nothing. Well, we didn't do shit. Did nothing. We just told someone about it, and they did all the. They either gave all the money, and the other people did all the work. We deserve nothing for that. We deserve nothing. But I will say that our listeners were great, and like I said, once we announced it, I had seen several people were going on and saying I came here from Cognitive Dissonance, and they were giving like $75 and things like that, and they had pushed them over the edge. But you know, the people in the Upstate Atheists, they did all the work. They sat there and they packed all those fucking care packages themselves, and they sat out there and they gave them to people, and they did all the hard work, and that's awesome shit. I think, you know, it's funny because a lot of people want to separate and say, well, atheists are just people who don't believe in something, and you know that you shouldn't try to organize or whatever. But Tom and I, we're both humanists ourselves, and I think it's a great organizing feature of, you know, being an atheist but also being a humanist, and I think you guys both fit into that as well.
Well, I thank you. I had never been associated with any groups till I met Love when we moved here, and I was excited to be around fellow free thinkers. And Love is all about charity, as far as she is constantly organizing things to help the community, and she'll rally behind some national stuff too. But as far as locally, she's an icon.
That's awesome.
I paid him to say that. Well, you know, it's, and I think being in the South, sometimes I think we work 10 times harder just to make sure, because there's such this horrible stigma when you live in the Bible pants. And so I think a lot of us work really hard to.
Yeah, we have a listener that came up with that, the Bible pants. His name's Daniel Bible Pants, and he says that that's where the cunts, the assholes, and the taints are.
Yeah, I think he called our show and told us
called
that
our show as well and left the same voicemail. It's so funny.
He did. I heard it. I heard it on y'all's before I checked my voicemail.
Yeah.
I Bible pants. That's absolutely hysterical. Awesome. But like, you know, you look at Eve. E. Brandon with Upstate Atheists. Here's a woman who's in school full time. She's in college full time. She's married. She has 3 kids under the age of 3 and still finds time to donate, you know, all this time to all these different things. She actually created Upstate Atheists to be a charity group. That's all they do is, you know, work in the community. It's fucking amazing.
You know, you would think she would be able to get into that church. No problem with a name like Eve. You know, come on in, you know, like a fucking name like Noah, you know, you got an in there. You got an in. All right. So you mentioned it earlier, but we're going to let our listeners know, where can they find your podcast?
I'm like, we're everywhere. I don't have the
list. Heard it there. Just look
everywhere.
I mean, we're on Spreaker and Blog Talk and iTunes and Secular FM. I mean, we're on Twitter and Facebook, and we've got a website. Atheist on Air is not hard to find.
Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. And now, actually, we're going to be on your show coming up here on the 24th.
That's
of
right.
This month,
live.
Our listeners will be able to call in live if they wanted to and make fun of Tom.
That is correct. Hey,
why are we? I would. You know, I would.
Cecil, if you would give me some shit on Tom, yeah. We could have a blast with this fucking show.
I am the shit on me. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Like, I am my own material. Yeah.